Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. Glad you're with us here. It's a Friday morning, and we are happy it is Friday, right? Making it into the weekend, although it is not going to be the kind of weather where your outdoor plans are going to be good ones. Let's just clear that up right now. Good thing there's no home baseball this weekend over at Busch Stadium.
Well, Savannah Bananas.
The Bananas had to cancel. They have already moved because of the rain. They had a couple sellouts scheduled over at Busch Stadium. But you can always sit inside and watch hockey, right?
Or go to the game if there are tickets available. I don't think there are. I think they're doing like half price food tomorrow too.
Oh, wow.
If you order on the app.
There's the thing. I'm congratulations to Abby, who's getting married tomorrow. She's the daughter of our friends she and her dad and her mom are a couple of the biggest Blues fans ever, and she's going to be getting married just down the street at Union Station. Ooh. And it's got to kill them that they can't go to that game. I'm sure it's crossed their mind because probably nobody expected the Blues to be doing as well as they're doing right now. And I'm sure that if they weren't planning a wedding and paying for all that on Saturday night, they would be down the street. I'm pretty sure.
I bet.
But see, my older sister got married in downtown St. Louis at the old Sheraton. It's changed like 14 times, that hotel, you know, right by Enterprise. And I remember the Cardinals were at home playing in the World Series. We were playing against Boston. So many of my relatives are from Boston. So the DJ was announcing the score, you know, while the reception was going on. And then what was really fun, too, and maybe she can do this, is after the game, if it's not torrential downpour raining, it was so fun to be able to go out to some of the bars. And, you know, Cardinals fans were everywhere and they're high-fiving my sister because, of course, she's in her wedding dress. So how cool if she would be able to go out after and see if she feels
safe. I don't know how that's
going
to work. So I can tell you, if it was my kid and I was paying whatever it cost to hold a wedding and a reception at in that beautiful venue there at Union Station, I'm not sure I'd be all hip on her leaving to go bar hopping.
No. Afterward. The receptions normally end at like 10, right? 10 or 11 at the latest.
Yes.
What, you're Carl? You're
11.
Yeah. I think mine ended 10:30 maybe, something like that. Because it started earlier. But anyway, point is, the bars are open late. You can go after.
Amateurs.
Yeah, were you out till like 4 a.m., Carl?
Yes.
Yes.
We were in a hotel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you could stay. We went from the reception hall to the bar lobby.
We went and got McDonald's.
Everybody who was anybody was at Carl's wedding. You need to understand that. I wasn't, but apparently everybody else in town who was anybody
490 people.
Carl's
wedding.
There were a lot of people.
What did you serve? Like crackers and cheese? Like,
yes.
How did you afford to pay for all those people?
Still in debt.
Yes, all these years later.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. We got J.J. Carafano coming up in just a couple minutes from the Heritage Foundation. Lots of cross eyes and wrinkled brows over in Europe and these foreign countries looking at the U.S., mad about these tariffs and all of this. You got to wonder how it impacts I don't know, national security, foreign policy. We're going to talk to Jim. He's the expert in that area. We got him coming up here in the next segment right after the break. And we're going to get to the Capitol beat this morning. That continuing resolution still rolling along. What's going on with that? And what is Congressman Burleson's take on the fallout from the tariffs, which, of course, continues this morning as the stock market continues to throw a temper tantrum. But they'll all be really happy here at some point soon, I'm sure. Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
He's making a bet. It's not his money. It's the United States of America that's on the craps table here.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Did I forget to mention? That's David Ignatius. Of course, journalist in Washington, D.C., columnist in Washington, D.C., and not an economist.
I said this would exactly be the way it is. We have $6 or $7 trillion coming into our country, and we've never seen anything like it.
No, we haven't, and we won't at some point here. And he understood the pain and took a gamble, and I am still of the firm belief that it is going to pay off in spades.
We have almost 3-1 Republicans in the House of Representatives. I mean, because I have to look to see, are we in Florida or are we in San Francisco and some of this stuff?
Yeah, good question there, you know, and of course, that is Ron DeSantis, and he's mad because they can't get open carry passed down there in that state. Imagine that, open carry, and they can't get the legislature, which is 2/3 Republicans, to vote for it. What in the world is going on?
You've got Judge Boasberg in the D.C. District Court level that's being assigned cases that are supposed to be random. It's statistically impossible, Laura.
Yep, that's Eric Schmidt. He was on with Laura Ingraham yesterday. I watched a little bit of that. Looked like maybe he'd been out in the sun, I noticed there, Senator Schmidt, because he was his forehead looked kind of like maybe he'd gotten a little bit too much sun that day. I don't know what he'd been doing, but he was clearly all smiles. And he was talking about this case where just random, these judges are supposed to be picked randomly, and this Judge Boasberg has just happened to get every Donald Trump case that's come through his circuit. And he's clearly a huge anti-Trumper, a never-Trumper. He's a hard lefty, and the fact that they continue to hand him these cases, now he's thinking of holding the Trump administration in contempt because they dared to take this guy and drop him off in El Salvador, where he's from, by the way, out of fear that another gang member might kill him.
I have, going back to this whole judge selection thing, I have always wondered how that happens. Why does it always seem like the crazy liberals, you know, the Biden or the Obama appointed judges seem to be handling a lot of these Trump cases?
Well, they shop them. They shop them around. They shop them to circuits. Remember, they used to call it the Ninth Circus Court of Appeals because it was well known that the Ninth Circuit out in the western part of the United States was the circuit court most likely to be overturned on appeal because they had a bunch of wackos in there. That's changed a little bit. Trump appointed enough judges during his first term that they eased up a little bit on some of their crazy decisions. But there are still circuits where it's known where these people are. Biden loaded up certain circuits with crazy lefties, and the people filing these lawsuits aren't going to red states and shopping for judges. They're going to liberal areas and shopping for judges. Listen again to what Eric Schmidt said about this, what the odds are of one judge getting all these cases.
You've got Judge Boasberg in the D.C. District Court level that's being assigned cases that are supposed to be random. It's statistically impossible, Laura, for him to get the number of high-profile cases he's gotten. So something's going on right here, going on right now, and it stinks.
Yeah, it stinks. It stinks, all right. But they know what they're doing. It's planned, and the number of injunctions they've gone out to get against this president is so out of whack compared to other administrations over the years. It's crazy. It's very clearly lawfare, and they know exactly what their game plan is. Coming up, we'll talk to Jim Carafano. Love having him on here. He's going to talk to us a little bit about maybe the fallout from these tariffs so worldwide, when you've got people like Emmanuel Macron promising retribution to the United States. What is that going to look like?
a croissant. We'll be back in just a minute.
Three different sets of U.S. tariffs remain in place and will continue to pose significant threats to Canadian workers and Canadian businesses. And while they have been imposed under different premises, some things are consistent. They are all unjustified, unwarranted, and in our judgment, misguided.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
Jim Carafano on the line from the Heritage Foundation this morning. Jim, how are you, sir?
I am living the dream, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Are you in some exotic location, or are you in the United States?
I'm in the most exotic part of Washington, D.C. you can be in. How's that?
It is a jungle there, really.
Yeah, it really is. You got to be careful.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, that was the Canadian Prime Minister you heard from there. They're all whining about how unjustified these tariffs are and the like. You know, what Donald Trump here has taken is a very educated gamble that he can bring fairness back to this trade situation around the world. And the blowback, in my opinion, I'm anxious to get yours, is that these people have been on the gravy train for a long time, and it's funding and propping up their whatever their various fiscal policies are, and they don't want to give that money back. So that's why they're so mad. What do you think?
So we have for a decade watched the global trading system essentially collapse. The system that we built that was supposed to build towards a world of free trade where governments aren't propping up businesses and taking advantage of each other. The WTO and everything else was supposed to evaporate that. And really, the great sin was, once we let China in the WTO, they have, as like a cancer, really destroyed that system. And what we need is a global reset. And, you know, I've been running around the world explaining Donald Trump. I said, you have to understand, regardless of what he said, this is a one-term president. He only has 4 years. He understands the frustration of trying to get things done his first 4 years. He spent 4 years building a team to make change, and he is desperately impatient to deliver on that. And there were two things. One is security, because the reality is the United States is not strong enough to be dominant in any theater without friends and allies. And so he beats the living hell out of our allies to say, look, you've got to, in your own self-defense, you have to stand up and do better. And the other one is growth. We all need growth. And the system that we have now is not delivering that. So he's intentionally breaking the system because he doesn't have time to sit around and talk nice to these guys.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on.
And nobody's had the guts to do it up until now because they didn't want the political blowback of the knee-jerk reaction in the stock market, which will continue today and maybe tomorrow and maybe into next week.
Right. And this is all, and this is the other thing I'll say, this is 99% political and very little actually dealing with trade. Because I have talked to business people all over the world, and most business people are like, hey, we deal with tariffs all the time. You know, I was talking to guys at Amazon, like, yeah, okay, they're going to put tariffs. So we stocked our warehouses, you know, so we make sure we've got plenty of, you know, stuff on hand, and then we'll ride it out. So the big companies, they're not freaking out about this. This is, and it's like tariffs. The only thing in the globe that drive the entire global economy is tariffs. That's completely nonsense. So, the business world understands how the game is played, and they'll ride it out. All this hysteria is from the political world. The stock market is reacting to politics. They're not reacting to economics.
Yeah. It's true.
Taking a left turn here, Hamas has come out and said, oh, you know, we're willing to release all the remaining 59 hostages that are still being held in exchange for a permanent ceasefire with Israel. Your take on that?
Well, one is how many of those 59 people are alive? And I suspect not many. You know, look, I think this fundamentally has to be an Israeli decision. They have to live in this world. And I think, you know, Trump's been pretty wise in essentially backing the Israeli plays. It's not only appropriate because essentially this is really about them. It also really, really strengthens the Israelis' position. And so I think he's a smart play. And I think what the U.S. will do is essentially follow the Israeli lead wherever they want to take this.
Yeah. You know, did you watch the 60 Minutes piece
last week, Jim, with the hostages?
I have not watched 60 Minutes since 1985.
I wish I had the bite.
If you add up all those 60 minutes from 1985, think how much of my life I have back for real things.
This is true. This is true. I was just going to mention it because they had one of the hostages on who got rescued who was talking about being starved. And Leslie Stahl says, well, do you really think they were trying to starve you, or was it just because they didn't have any food? Like, she's asking questions like, how can I, you know, engender a little empathy here for the terrorists right. who took you hostage?
Yeah, yeah, it's such a waste of our time. But, you know, and again, the issue at this point, we all have sympathy for the hostages and their families. But for the future of Israel, I mean, that's not the sticking point. It's where are we going to go in the future from here?
Yes.
How is Gaza going to be governed? And the one thing that I think is brilliant that Trump has done is we're just not going to reset the clock.
Yep.
We're not going to let UNRWA back in and have them rebuild this thing and give Hamas all. And then so 20 years, we're back to the next October. We're not doing that. I don't know what we're going to do. You know, maybe we will build the Trump Hotel, but the reality is we're not going to repeat stupid.
That's a great point. We won't repeat stupid. I love it. Jim, have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me on, friend.
You bet, my friend. Always love having you on here. All right, we're gonna get to our friend Eric Burleson, the congressman on the Capitol beat, when we come back in just a minute.
Further, what they have said is that we need to not worry about manufacturing in America, because what we should establish is a policy of unfettered free trade. We don't need tariffs. What we need is to allow corporate America the freedom to throw American workers out on the street, people who are making 15, 20, 25 bucks an hour, healthcare, pensions, throw them out on the street, because somehow, Madam President, we are going to create wealth in America and good paying jobs in America. As we shut down plants, we move to China, corporations there pay workers 20, 30 cents an hour, and we bring the product back into this country. And anyone who goes shopping in a mall knows how difficult it is today to find the product made in America.
Capital Beat.
Yeah, we got Congressman Eric Burleson on the phone with us this morning from Missouri's 7th Congressional District. Congressman, that was a Bernie Sanders from back in 2008 when he was all in favor of tariffs.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing Trump gets Democrats to change their mind on a lot of things?
Yeah. The UAW is all in for Donald Trump now because he's proven that his policies are about American manufacturing and bringing jobs back here. And they've been paid a lot of lip service to that over the years, but their party has never followed through on any of it.
Right. Yeah. And I think that for me, my view is that tariffs are nothing to celebrate. They're not good, but they're also not good both ways. And we have been receiving the bad end of this for decades, letting other countries tariff us. And it took Donald Trump to kind of step in and say, wait a minute, let's figure out a way to compel those countries to reduce their tariffs. And I think that his reciprocal tariffs are kind of designed a way to do that.
Yeah, I said earlier this morning, I used the analogy that it's almost like having to do an intervention with a family member. They don't realize they got a problem, and they're not happy that the whole family has gathered in the family room to tell them about it, because they're used to drinking at the bar of America for free. And suddenly these countries are being told that you're not drinking free here anymore. There's going to be a cost to it because you charge us when we go to your bars. And they don't like that. They're using our tax dollars to prop up whatever their economy is in their countries. So they're gonna feel the pain from this. And Donald Trump's been the only one with the guts to do it. No other president has ever had the guts to do what he did, because he knew that Wall Street would react the way it did, and that there'd be a lot of heat on him for a few days. And fortunately, he doesn't care.
No, I think that. I think he knows he's resolute in this, and there's something to be said about not having to run for re-election.
Yes,
if you're trying to worry more about having a positive legacy and putting America, you know, saving the country, you worry less about all of the hyperbole that's happening right now, all the hysteria.
It looks like Pam Bondi might be doing some sort of a press conference talking about some new MS-13 gang arrests. Obviously, we've talked a lot about that, but the other story that's gotten a lot of people chatting is this guy who they're saying, oh, you know, the Trump administration mistakenly deported him and all of these things. And you see the mainstream media trying to paint him as some incredible father. And it turns out that the guy's a gang member himself who was here illegally, right? I mean, what's your take on all this? What's being talked about on Capitol Hill?
I wouldn't give that guy Father of the Year. In fact, it's kind of disturbing that gang members are raising children. But at the end of the day, they're not supposed to be here. And I think that the Trump administration is doing a great job in this, doing a tremendous job. And the fact that the left is scouring and searching for some kind of anecdotal, individual, like one-off story of a sympathetic person that and they haven't been able to find it should tell you that Trump is doing an amazing job.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that they're doing this for sure, because it's been long overdue. We've seen it here. You know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about I do a weekly segment on the Second Amendment, usually on Tuesdays, and this whole, national concealed carry reciprocity bill, I think, is about to pass the House, isn't it?
I don't know where it's at on the agenda. It probably did come out of Judiciary Committee, so it's probably primed to go to the floor. So that would be exciting to have a bill like that. It's something that I would love to see put into reconciliation. I don't think you're never going to get the 60 votes in the Senate given the current makeup. But something that's pro Second Amendment we might be able to get a win in the reconciliation bill. One of the things I'm pushing for that I think is really defensible, it absolutely fits in the bill, would be to eliminate the tax stamp on suppressors and short barrel rifles. It's about $200, which is $200 too much. And it is a burden for people. And it's ridiculous. You shouldn't have to pay $200 to try to not lose your hearing every time you fire, a firearm.
Is that would that be a change to the NFA? Is that what it is, the National Firearms Act?
Yeah, it basically would gut the NFA, a big portion of it. And so all of the rules in the NFA, a lot of times people think, oh, this is about keeping people safe. No, it's about making the firearms laws complicated so that the average consumer doesn't understand. And so, like the short barrel rifle, you can buy a pistol or you can buy a long barrel rifle, but by golly, if it's somewhere in between, you have to pay the federal government extra money and jump through a bunch of other hoops. And the assumption is that is somehow more lethal than the other two at either ends. I mean, it's just really a ridiculous concept. And then I've never seen a suppressor make something more lethal. if anybody's ever used one, they're still extremely loud. It is still extremely loud to fire something. And so people think that it's done, that it sounds like it is in movies. That is not the case whatsoever.
That's true. And I don't know if it's the James Bond effect or what it is, but people have some impression. It must have, the people that put that in the law must have believed that a bunch of assassins would run around and silently assassinate people if they just had suppressors. Right. So we've somehow got to regulate those. And it would probably have done more to save the hearing of untold thousands of Americans if they'd had easier access to them over the years, because you don't necessarily even have to wear hearing protection if you're using a suppressor when you're shooting.
That's right. Save on hearing aids.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Free suppressors.
Yeah, it's very true. And I don't know. So let's talk about the ATF for a minute, because I know that's been on your agenda. What kind of support are you hearing there on the Hill? Now, I understand that's another thing that would be very difficult to get through cloture in the Senate. But I love your idea of shutting down that, just like they shut down the EPA museum yesterday.
Yeah, I think that Cash is on an effort very much in Doge style to this, you know, to very much at least gut the ATF. You've already seen over 1,000 jobs that have been either eliminated or moved out of the ATF and into the FBI so that they can focus on other things, actual criminal activity. I think that's a start. So having this dialogue and having this topic out there is at least moving. I think it's moving the Overton window and getting the administration, getting other people to ask the question, why do we have this rogue agency that seems hell-bent to violate the Constitution or people's constitutional rights? And so I feel like we've made a lot of progress this year. It may be a bridge too far to pass a bill that completely abolishes them altogether right now, but it doesn't mean that it's not possible, you know, a few years from now.
Got to get that
with the Trump administration, that a few more years of this administration.
Yeah, very good. And you know, winning a few more seats in the Senate in the midterms, maybe as well. We'll see. Congressman, always great having you on. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Congressman Eric Burleson there, of course, from the 7th Congressional District. I've the whole suppressor thing has baffled me for years. Speaking of baffling, I would love to have a suppressor. I've never gone to the trouble to get one because it's just been a little bit of a hassle. It's easier now because you just have to fill out a paper form, pay your $200, mail it off to Washington, D.C. somewhere from your gun store, and wait for months to hear back. They finally made it an electronic transaction, and sometimes you can get an answer back in as little as a month or less now. And
that's maybe still a long
maybe
time.
Maybe faster than that. And then you have to then buy the suppressor on top of that. So it might cost you another $1,000 to depending on what you're buying or what gun you're getting it for.
Didn't Bo and our guest in the 8 o'clock hour have a bet to see who got theirs first?
I don't know if it was Greg or if it was Mike. Might have been Chief Wiegand.
You need the Titanic gift with the old lady where she's like, "It's been 84 years."
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of the guest he's talking about is Chief Greg Brown, of course, retired now from Eureka, but still heavily involved with Guns and Hoses. He's going to be here for our Queen of Hearts drawing at about 8:20. And coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. What are we talking about?
I've really been following this devastating story out of Texas where a high school athlete, track and field star, was stabbed by a competitor during a meet. You're going to be dumbfounded when you hear the reason why he was supposedly stabbed.
Kim on a Whim.
This story out of Texas just breaks my heart. If you've not heard about what's going on, there was a track and field. He's a high school athlete, 17 years old, and he's at some meet. And he walks up to this guy, Carmelo Anthony, and I guess is telling him, "Hey, man, you're in the wrong seat." Well, for whatever reason, that starts some sort of an argument between the two. This other guy, this competitor competing in this track and field competition, Carmelo Anthony, also 17 years old, whips out a knife and stabs this guy, Austin Metcalf, in the heart and dies. This guy, Austin, was near his twin brother, who I assume was also competing. His twin brother's holding him as he takes his last breath. This is just crazy. Of course, Carmelo Anthony's dad's coming out there and trying to say, you know,
self-defense.
Well, he's like, no, he wasn't really the one who started it. First of all, why did you have a knife on hand when you're competing in a track meet? That I have a lot of questions about that. The fact that this escalated to a fatal stabbing over a stupid question of are you in the wrong seat is mind-blowing to me. I mean, what does that tell you about where we're at in society with people being able to control their emotions and not realizing the consequences of their actions? There has to be some element of, you know what, even if I do this, who really knows what will happen? I mean, the guy did it in the middle of a meet. It's not like this was some dark alley where he thought, oh, wow, no one will ever see that I did this.
Yeah, I read a story earlier, and I don't know if you saw this in the one you read or not, that these two schools are big football rivals?
They're rivals, and yes, and this
and
guy
that
who's
they
a
might
track
have
and
known each other,
and well, and this guy Austin Metcalf, who was killed, he also plays football, and he was hoping to play in college.
I'm not justifying it. What I'm saying is it did it stem from a rivalry specifically between those two kids? Did they know each other in advance or something?
I guess, but who cares? I mean,
yeah, I mean,
what
I know
what
who cares.
Crazy person to whip out a knife. I mean, really, do you just carry knives every time you go and compete? Whenever you were in high school, Mark, did you make sure you always had your knife on you?
I carried a knife, nunchucks, all of it, just in case, because you never know when a fight might
break
out.
Where do you put that? In your shorts? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I agree. If the kid was participating, where was he carrying the knife? Now, maybe he was not there to participate, but to observe. It looks like the area where they were was a tent set up in some stands outside of the track where the athletes could get ready before they competed. I mean, maybe it's possible he was there and hadn't changed into his track gear yet or something.
Still, why do you have a knife?
I'm with you.
This is in Frisco, Texas, by the way. So this guy, Carmelo Anthony, who, by the way, is being charged with first-degree murder and is still in custody, as he should be, dad comes out and says, and by, this is sad for the dad of this kid, too. I mean, it is sad, but the guy needs to face consequences for this. He comes out and says, describing his son, he's a good kid. He works two jobs. He's an A student, has a 3.7 GPA. Let me add something to you. He says he's not the aggressor. He was not the one who started it. Well, first of all, he also, it sounds like, is a murderer. And I don't really care if he was the one who started the fight or not. The fact that it escalated to the point where he felt it necessary to whip out a knife and stab this guy in the heart.
Yeah, where have we gone to as a society?
Right.
I mean, I remember in high school getting in several fist fights. None of those resulted in somebody getting so mad that they were losing that they pulled out a knife.
Well, I've stabbed a few people.
You took your lumps and you moved on.
Because I was angry. I mean, I think we all get to that point.
The way that look you give me sometimes.
Yeah, I know. Well, I do carry a knife just in case. You just don't know, you know?
I used to carry a pocket knife. I had to get out of the habit of it as a reporter because you're in and out of courthouses all the time, and you can't do that.
But
a lot of people
detector.
Carry a little pen knife or something in their pocket. But yeah, that's disturbing.
People need to know there are consequences. I don't understand why this, and Maurice is talking about this on Facebook, why is this younger generation, it seems, in particular, not fearful of police, not fearful of the consequences? They just murder people left and right like life has no value in it.
Yeah, I don't know how you would think that there wouldn't have been consequences for what you were about to do, even in the heat of the moment. It makes no sense whatsoever. All right, coming up, we're going to talk more about how much assessments have gone up in St. Louis County. There's an event coming up that you can attend to ask some questions to Assessor Jake Zimmerman, who has declined my repeated request for an interview on this show. We'll talk to County Councilman Mike Archer after the top of the hour. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.